I am Plant on the Line in Vancouver at thecommentary.ca. Alana Mitchell joins me again. She was on the program nearly 6 years ago when her critically acclaimed book Seasick was first released. Now she'll be taking the stage at the Push Festival in a show based on her work looking at the ocean and why it's in trouble. She looks at why we seemingly don't care a lot about the sea and why, in fact, it should be important to think about what's happening as it's the switch of life. The solo show runs at 75 minutes, and I'll get Ms. Mitchell to tell us what happens. I saw a review from our old friend Stephen Hunt in the Calgary Herald, which said that Ms. Mitchell was an engaging storyteller. The show plays the 3rd and 4th of February at the Roundhouse Community Arts and Recreation Center. Go to pushfestival.ca for tickets and information. AlanaMitchell.com is the website for more. Please welcome back to the Plant Online program, Alana Mitchell. Ms. Mitchell, good morning.
Hi.
Thanks for joining us.
Great to be here.
So this book, Seasick, when it came out, I spoke to you just as it came out, I guess, a number of years ago. That was an important book. It sold well, and I guess it was translated as well and sold in other countries. A number of years since, 5-6 years since, what's changed in terms of the oceans and our relationship? I mean, has it gotten better at all?
No, it's gotten worse.
Hmm.
Because the chemistry of the ocean is changing in lockstep with climate change, and climate change has gotten worse. So there's more carbon dioxide in the atmosphere, and that means that the ocean is more acidic, more warm, and in some places the dead zones, or the areas of little or no oxygen, have also increased.
And so why do you think that is? Because, I mean, in the last 5, 6, even 10 years, we've been warned about the consequences of climate change and the sort, and nothing's changed.
I guess our knowledge of how serious the problem is has changed. If I think about the ocean, if I think about when Seasick came out, so that was in 2009 in Canada, I mean, since then scientists have certainly put together a lot more of the information about the state of the ocean, or its health, you could say. And so I think there's just a broader, more general knowledge of some of the risks that we're incurring with the chemical changes we're making to the ocean. And I take that as a good sign. I mean, this is still pretty new science, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like the very first paper on the acidification of the ocean, the first one that looks at the biological impacts of it, came out in 1999. And so really in just over a decade, there's been this quite intensive batch of research and, consciousness raising almost among scientists and to some degree among the public about this issue.
So if it hasn't improved, who's to blame?
Well, it's our species.
Yeah.
This is I think about this as a species-wide issue because it's, I don't find it very helpful to point fingers at certain countries or certain individuals or certain industries. I mean, this is what's happening is that our species set some wheels in motion about, you know, at the time of the Industrial Revolution, that entailed driving our economy by putting carbon dioxide up into the atmosphere by burning fossil fuels. And that has become much more intensified in the last 50 years, you could say. And our knowledge of the incredibly dire consequences of that carbon dioxide in the atmosphere is becoming clearer and sharper, but we still haven't, you know, made the changes we need to make, as you know. In fact, the problem is getting much worse, much more quickly, and there's actually no plan to stop it from getting even worse than this.
So, what I remember from the book is, you put it, in a way that made me realize, just how ignorant, if you will, we are, is that we're more interested in going into space and other sort of studies like that, and instead of looking at the ocean, which is really around us and closer to us.
It's closer to us, and you're right. We don't pay it all that much attention, except the bits of it that give us fish, or maybe the coastal areas that we like to play in, or things like that. But it's an almost an unknown world, and it's not just that it's so close to us that makes it important to understand. It's that it actually is the driver of the life on the planet. You mentioned before the switch of life. Well, actually, the ocean is the switch of life, so it controls many of the chemical processes depend on. So it's the fundamental biological engine of the planet.
So goes the ocean, goes the species, right? So goes the
exactly.
planet.
Exactly. That's precisely right, and that's one of the things that I kept thinking about when I was writing the book, and even as I was doing the play, because it's not only that, it's that chemistry determines life. I had this little, you know, this little line in my head: chemistry determines life. Chemistry determines life, and we're changing the chemistry of the major life support system on the planet, which is the ocean, in fundamental ways. Ways we're pushing those, you know, chemical descriptors to places they haven't been for tens of millions of years, and it's an incredibly, incredibly weird time on the planet.
So this book, as I said, was a big hit, and it was critically acclaimed. It won awards and the sort. It's sort of improbable 5-6 years later that it becomes a production on the stage.
Absolutely.
And so how did that come about?
Oh, it was sheer chance. After the book came out, you'll probably remember this from last time we talked, I did a lot of public talks about it all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
Hundreds and hundreds, I think, on every continent, including Antarctica. And so I just started to develop a way to talk about some of the stories that was not so much writerly and was a little bit more, you know, more verbal, more oral. So I gave one of those talks to a group of theater people, and one of the people in the audience was Franco Boni. He's the artistic director of the Theater Center, which is a real incubator of the arts here in Toronto. And he heard me give this talk and thought that it could actually be a play. And so he asked me if I would be game for trying that. And he and I and another director, Ravi Jain, worked on this play for, parts of a year, really. Not all of a year, of course, but, you know, weeks uh-huh. at a time over the course of a year. And to see whether we could make it into something that would be theatrical, but also be a nonfiction play and also be performed by me. And I'm not an actor, so... It's got a list of anomalous characteristics, you know.
Yeah, and so well, what happens when we see at the Roundhouse at 8 p.m.
Right.
either the 3rd or the 4th? I mean, it's the same show that you performed, say, in Toronto and Calgary recently as well, right?
I believe it will be the same as I just performed in Calgary. I'm back from Calgary, but it will be slightly different from the one I performed in Toronto because. You know, theater is a living thing,
mm-hmm.
a living, breathing thing, and we've still been trying to shape the ending to make it a little bit different. So this will be, I believe, Franco and I still have to talk about this, but I believe that it's going to be the third ending that I'll be performing in Vancouver, which is the one I just performed in Calgary. I think that's how it's going to work, but these things do shift around a bit, you know, a little bit.
And so, from what I've read of it, you're on stage with a chalkboard, a blackboard, and
right.
then you're essentially just talking to the audience about what's happening with our oceans. It's more than that, obviously, right?
I would like to think it's a little more than that. I mean, basically, this is a very ancient type of theater, which is just storytelling. So it is simply storytelling, adventure, tale. You know, it's my quest, how and why I started looking at the ocean, why I did it, what I found. And I think, you know, what happens, from my understanding, from talking to people in the audience, my understanding is that people actually go on a journey during this play. So, I mean, I have this sensation of taking people by the hand and just drawing them into this tale, and then, you know, together we journey, we find stuff out, we, you know, catch glimpses of some of the secrets of the planet. And I think it's quite, my impression from the people who've seen it is that it's quite a moving experience. There's a strong emotional response in many people to what happens, and it's not sorrow, although there's a lot of difficult information. I think it's not sorrow that people come out with. I think it's relief and hope. Maybe redemption.
And so, in it is an effective way, isn't it, of talking about a subject that we certainly don't think about, to do so on the stage like that. I mean, you are affecting a lot of people in how they're thinking, I'm assuming, the audience that goes to see the show.
I think that's true. I mean, you know, it's hard for me to know because I've never actually seen the show.
Yeah.
But what I hear from people who've seen it is that yeah, you can't, at the end of the, what they say to me is you can't unring this bell. You can't not know what, you know, what you now know when you come out of it. And, you know, what effect that has, what it actually does for people, I don't know. But, you know, for me, it's really important to democratize the science. I mean, that's what I try to do in my book, Seasick, and that's what I'm trying to do in the play. So I really think it's important for us to understand the science and understand it in a way that's being described in a storytelling manner. So I mean, there's an element of entertainment in it. There's quite a bit of humor. There's quite a bit of, well, I mean, from my point of view as a performer, as the storyteller in this tale, you know, I'm pretty vulnerable on this stage, and quite, I think emotionally raw at times, and I think that is something that the audiences seem to really, they pick up immediately. I mean, the audiences are really smart about stuff like this, and they know when they're hearing something that is real. And the fact is that I lived through all of these experiences that I'm telling people about, and this is really what happened as I tried to piece together this great puzzle of how the ocean is working and how the planet is working. So, I guess what I'm trying to say is that I don't think you could say that it's dry. It's pretty emotional.
So what's it like working with Franco Bonni and Ravi Jain? I've had Ravi on, actually, when he was at PUSH for the show that he did with his mother.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he has some experience in putting non-performers on the stage. I mean,
it's true.
Yeah, what was it like with you and working with them?
Oh, I just loved working with them. I mean, this, you've got to understand that this is not something I ever even dreamed of. It never occurred to me that I would ever do something like this, and it's actually extremely difficult for me to do, to stand up there and perform for, you know, the way I do. It's enormously emotional for me. But the work with Franco and Ravi has been one of the most intensely intellectual and emotional and psychological experiences of my life. I mean, it has let me understand in ways that I never understood why I do what I do.
So does it change the work as a journalist, as a writer? Because, I mean, you have a different way now, or it's a different way of telling a story, but you have a different sort of method of telling a story.
Well, I don't really think of it in those terms. What I think of is that I have a bigger, you know, roster of ways that I can tell a story. So some of the stories I write as a journalist are just exactly the same way that I would have written them before this process. I mean, I'm a journalist, right? So I do some science reporting for the New York Times, for example, and so that is very, very classically journalistic. It's not, it's a different art form. And, but I just feel like I've expanded. It's sort of like, you know, when you have a second child, the child brings its own love with it. You don't take love away from the first child when you love the second. And it feels like that a little bit with this play. I still do the book writing and the journalism that I love doing, but I have this other thing that I can do. And what happens to me is that I think now, in terms of, would this make a play? Is it possible for this idea to make a play? And so far, nothing else has come up. I mean, we're still, of course, right in the throes of doing this one, but it seems to me that maybe at some other point in my life I will, you know, write another play, and probably not perform it, but possibly write it or help to develop it or something like that. I mean, the theater just gets under your skin. You know, it's incredibly, incredibly compelling as a medium. And, you know, I mean, I could see myself, you know, thinking about working it in another time and place.
Yeah. So, like a performance night for you, I mean, what's that like? I mean, does it stir emotions in you, nervousness perhaps?
Oh, yes, I'm very nervous. I'm an extremely nervous performer, and, you know, there's this whole process of trying to tightly calibrate, you know, what kind of food I eat and, yeah. when, and, you know, because at that point you're a machine. You just have to, you know, you have to have enough energy to get through the performance and to do it, you know, there's, you have to make sure you have enough fluid. I mean, you know, there's just this machine-like aspect. But apart from that, the emotional stuff is extremely, is really tough. And, and it's something I struggle with every single performance. I have to, you know, what I do is I just say, look, I'm just telling my stories. That's literally what I'm doing. I'm just going up there and telling my stories. And I know those stories because I live them. And I love telling them. So I just have to remind myself that I love telling the stories. And then once I'm on stage, I'm fine. You know, and I just,
yeah.
I'm not nervous there, but it's in the lead up. There's a whole soundtrack that gets played in the, that we've developed to be an intro to the play. And at a certain point, when a certain song starts, I simply have to open the curtain and walk on stage. And so it's the lead up to that moment that is quite, you know, really terrifying for me. So.
It's remarkable, and it's wonderful to hear how in these last number of years, how this book has become this, and how it's, you know, essentially affected one's life and yeah. you know, your career, I guess.
It's had a life of its own. It's
yeah.
been quite an extraordinary thing. It's opened doors that I could never have dreamt of. This is, of course, the biggest of them, because it's taken up a huge chunk of emotional and intellectual energy to do this thing, which is, you know, I mean, that's what we're here for, right?
Yeah.
So this has been just a consummate joy. Oh, but very difficult.
So during this process, I mean, and thinking about the oceans as you have, and allowing us to think about the oceans when we see this show, are you left with greater hope about where we're headed as a species, as a planet?
Than I was before I wrote the book. Maybe?
Yeah.
Very much. Yeah, and it seems to me, as I travel around the world and talk to people about this stuff, that there's more and more reason to hope. I mean, people, we're not seeing the numbers come down, and we need to see the numbers come down, but there's so much more public discourse about it. There's so much more public knowledge. There's so much more scientific knowledge. We have examples all over the world of countries that are really, and cities, indeed, and companies that are just tackling this issue with everything they have. So I think I've never been more hopeful than I am now.
Alana, it's good to talk again. Break a leg.
Thanks a lot. Hope you'll come and see the show.
Indeed, yeah. The show's called Seasick. It's at the Push Festival the 3rd and 4th of February at the Roundhouse. Visit pushfestival.ca for tickets and information, and, of course, alanamitchell.com for more. Alana Mitchell joined me on the line from Toronto and Vancouver. I'm Joseph Plata.